you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. This is God's Word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You remember at the end of chapter 1, we saw Joseph being told by an angel that he should go ahead and take Mary to be his wife. And so at the end of chapter 1, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He did what was commanded. Main point for today, when we receive God's word, we need to obey. Years ago, I had a fellow in my church who came to me and told me that he was so relieved. He'd been to a conference where he'd been able to better understand the scriptures. And the fact that when Jesus says you're to observe all that I've commanded you, it's part of the Great Commission, go out and teach people to observe all that I've commanded you. He said the word that's used there means you keep your eye on it. It doesn't mean that we have to obey, because we all fall short. It just means keep your eye on that. Well, I've used that ever since whenever I get stopped for not observing the speed limit. I always tell the officer, hey, officer, don't say I'm not observing the speed limit. I know exactly what the speed limit is. And the officer always says, okay, well, that's all that matters, and goes back and gets in his car. You think? I've never once said that to an officer, because I'm not crazy. You understand? When we're told to observe the speed limit, that doesn't just mean keep your eye on it. It means don't forget what it is, because you need to do it. You need to obey. It is, in that context, a synonym for obey all that I've commanded you. So, well, we do all fall short. Yes, that's why we need a Savior. But he doesn't just save us from the penalty of our sin. He actually is in the process of sanctifying us, those who believe, those who trust him, and he's changing us from the inside out so that increasingly our lives look like his. That's what he said he came to do. Now, we have some marvelous examples in the life of Joseph who received God's command and obeyed, including in this passage in chapter 2, when he was told that he needed to get up and go. He got up in the middle of the night and went. He didn't wait till morning. He didn't say, well, I'm tired right now. Hopefully it'll all look better in the morning. Maybe we won't really have to do this. Maybe it was just a dream. No, it was a dream, but it was a dream from God, and he knew it. He knew this was God's direction, and so he did what God told him to do. But do you remember the first of the miracles that John records for us is Jesus changing water into wine? You remember what the key verse was there in chapter 2? Key verse was verse 5. Mary said, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. That is the way that miracles happen. We've said repeatedly, and I'm going to keep saying it as long as I have breath, God willing. You want to see a miracle? Obey God. God works his miracles in the context of obedience. Jesus always gave people something to do, some instruction. If you believe, you will do what he says. It's not just, yes, well, I believe that's true. I definitely believe that's true. I believe that if I walk 7,000 steps a day, it will increase my chances of having better health until God calls me home. I believe that based on scientific research that wasn't done by me, it was done by others. It might turn out not to be true, but I'm doing what I believe will help. If I simply sit on the sofa and believe that walking 7,000 steps a day will improve my health in old age, that's not going to help my health at all. Well, I've read those studies, and I actually believe it's true. And I'm just counting on my faith to caused my cholesterol to be what it should be. And I'm counting on that to keep my blood pressure in check. And by golly, I believe that believing is the key. No. If you believe that walking is helpful, get up off your rusty dusty and start taking steps. Now here's the thing. If you believe God's word, do what God says. When you receive God's word, you need to obey.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the postal service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters, and we're trusting God to reward you. He promised He will.
In Matthew 2, several incidences of Joseph receiving a word from the Lord and doing what was commanded. But there's another fellow in this chapter who very famously received the word of the Lord. Herod. Herod didn't say, when they asked him where the Messiah was to be born, he didn't say, well, how should we know? He knew that God had made promises. And as we said last time, God always keeps His promises. So Herod was not someone who didn't believe that God has given us His word and that His word is true. Herod was simply someone who didn't like what God had said. And so Herod wanted to resist the word of God. And as a king, he felt like he could probably pull it off. What was his plan? To kill the child. And when the Magi didn't come back and disclose the exact location, he gave orders for all the male children in Bethlehem and the surrounding area to be slaughtered, age 2 and down. Why age 2? I thought it was a baby. In the Christmas plays, it's always just a little baby in the manger. They didn't find a baby in the manger. That was the shepherds. The wise men had to make a long journey that was initiated when the star appeared, signaling that the birth had happened. So get your theology out of the Bible, not out of a Christmas production or a Hallmark film. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born, who has been born, not who's about to be born? We got to get over to Bethlehem fast. Who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and we've come to worship him. Then he says, the child should be in Bethlehem. When exactly did the star appear? That's why it was ages 2 and down. You understand? And that's why it doesn't say they went to Bethlehem, the wise men went to Bethlehem, and the star had come to rest over the stable. It says it had come to rest over the house where Joseph and Mary and the baby were living. And that's why it doesn't use the word for infant here. It uses the word for child. Still young, but not a baby. We get all excited about the sentimentality of these various things that are familiar to us, and yes, we've seen them over and over and over again. We miss what God is saying to us in this. Herod believed that God's word is true and then behaved like somebody who hates God. Our world is full of that. That is the nature of the unregenerate heart. If you're not born again, you may think of yourself as a really good person, but you're not. And the fact of the matter is, when God says, you can eat the fruit of any of the trees in this garden, but don't eat the fruit of that tree, it's like, well, now I want that one. If we're told don't do it, we want to try it. That's sin. That's rebellion. It is evil. It's what Satan got kicked out of heaven for. He wanted to put himself in the place of God. And that's what all of us are doing when we follow his direction and try to put ourselves in the place of God. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to do my thing. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. God's word keeps breaking into our world and telling us, don't do that. That will not end well. Do this and live. And the universal response of the unsaved heart is to say, nah, I think I want to do this. I think I want to do what I want, at least today. Herod believed that God's word was true. The baby's been born in Bethlehem. And so he set out to defeat God's promise. He was going to prove that even though God said this is going to happen, I can stop it. I don't have to surrender to God. I'm a king. And his crown wasn't paper, but it was temporary. Because even though his disobedience to God's word resulted in great harm and even death for many, he could not defeat God's plan. And instead, he couldn't save himself or his kingdom. Do you remember what we read in chapter 2? They got word that the one who was trying to harm the child is dead. Verse 20. Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. That was Herod. I'm not going to let some other king come on the scene and take away my kingdom. Good luck with that. You can respond like Joseph with obedience to God's word, or you can respond like Herod saying, I know it's true, but I'm not going to give in. You say, well, how could people be that blind? How could they be that crazy? You remember when Jesus rose from the dead? And the guards go and report to the chief priests that we've got a problem, okay? The leaders of the Jews got together and said, okay, here's what you do. You just, if anybody asks you about it, tell them that while you were asleep, the disciples came and took the body. Now, that would get these guys in serious trouble because they could literally lose their lives for having gone to sleep when they were supposed to be on guard duty, especially if it resulted in what they were guarding being taken away. But the chief priests and other leaders of the Sanhedrin said, don't worry about it, we'll cover for you. And they gave him some money and said, now go lie for us. Now, here's the problem. At this point, the chief priests... priest and his colleagues knew. And instead of saying, oh God, have mercy on us, he really is the Messiah, we've killed the Son of God. Instead of doing that, that's called repentance, they were like, okay, we just got to cover up what we did wrong. All right, here's the plan. We're going to cover up our sin by lying. Never works out. Ananias has not been in the news lately, nor Caiaphas, nor the other folks who were there trying to cover it up. You know what happened to them? They all died. They all died. Every one of them. And so will we. And the question is, when you have to stand before God, are you going to be standing there robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ who was your hope and confidence, your Savior and your Lord? Or are you going to be standing there in filthy rags of self-righteousness saying, well, I tried hard to do the right thing, and I hope that's good enough? Doesn't work. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care what religion you're a part of. What we need to do is receive God's word and obey it. Well, what does he want us to do? Put your trust in Jesus. That's what he commands. Trust in him. Well, is he going to give me anything to do? Yeah. But if you're doing it in order to try and earn your salvation, it's not going to work. But if you're doing what he says because you are so grateful to be saved, that is a beautiful thing. Not trying to obey God's word because, boy, I'm afraid if I don't, I'm going to burn forever. But putting your trust in Jesus and realizing he came to save sinners like us. He came to save sinners like us. And so how do I say thanks? By saying, I love you, and so I want to do what you say. I had 3 grandchildren in my house this morning. They kept interrupting me to ask me the same question. Is there anything else I can do? Anything else I can do to help? I love my grandchildren. It was precious, and I came up with some things for them to do. And then after it was all over, they went like this. You think? No. Not one of them. They weren't doing it for the payback. They were doing it because they've been brought up to do the right thing out of love. Proud of you. Don't be afraid that somehow you're going to get ripped off by God. Say, well, you know, Pastor Wood, I wish that God would speak to me. Oh, I'm sorry, did you not get the memo? God has spoken. This is his word. This is why we study his word. If you want to know what God says, get into the word of God and learn to recognize his voice. Because this is what he sounds like. This is the kind of stuff he says. Years ago, I heard a fellow who had been a prisoner of the communist Chinese for 3 years, one of those years in solitary confinement. A whole year he's in solitary. And now, when I was getting to know him, he taught us a lesson from Moses and the burning bush. And he said, please notice in the text that the bush was burning and it was not consumed. And when God saw that Moses turned aside to investigate, to see why the bush was burning and not consumed, then God spoke to him. And he said, do you wish that God would appear to you in a burning bush? This bush has been burning for thousands of years, and it hasn't been consumed. If you want to hear from God, turn aside to investigate. Check it out. Pick up your Bible. Study God's word. Memorize it. Meditate on it. And do what he says. God has spoken. God is still speaking today. Learn to recognize his voice. And then obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.